Isaiah chapter 1. We're looking at the reasons for God's judgment upon the nation. And I know I'm in a jolly mood, but we need to take this very, very serious, because I do believe it applies to us today. In chapter 1, in verses 4 through 6, you'll see that the first accusation or indictment against the children of Israel is that they had rejected the Lord, forsaken the Lord, turned from the Lord. Verse 4 starts, "Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors, for they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward." That means they turn their back to God and their face towards sin is what it is. "Why should you be stricken again, you who revolt more and more? The whole head is sick, the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. For they have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment." How would you describe this text? We're going to have a conversation tonight, okay? So this will be conversational. What did you get out of those three verses? And how would that parallel to our society today? God's unhappy with Israel. Do you think there's a reason for God to be unhappy with us? Do you think we've forsaken the Lord as a nation? Oh, yeah. You know, even the church is not the church, right? And our calling as Christians is not to go to church, but be the church, right? Yeah, yeah. But they have forsaken the Lord, provoked him to anger, the Holy One of Israel, turned their back towards God and went full steam ahead into sin. Does that describe our nation? Most recently, the Biden administration has decided that they will no longer fine the FCC, Federal Communications Commission, will no longer fine stations for violating the decency laws on television. You know, before, when they would cross the line and they would show more than they should, that they would get fined for that. Well, they're not going to do that any longer. Stations late at night will be as they are in Europe. And you know how they are in Europe. Yeah. We don't want to be too descriptive. We got Joe Coco. You got a new hairdo? Noah too. You guys are growing your hair longer, aren't you? You growing it longer for the winter, or are you just gonna make a new do? I think you should keep the do. I like it. Yeah, let the hair go. You know what I say? Hey, well, you gotta grow it, because you don't keep it for long, you know? Anyway, so certainly we see where our nation and even the organized church is rejecting the Lord. As I told you before, 30% don't believe that Christ is God any longer. 80% believe that other ways are legitimate ways to heaven that can't possibly be true if the cross be true. Look at verses 10 through 15. Again, their hypocrisy in worship in chapter 1. "Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah." What was the problem in Sodom and Gomorrah? Homosexuality. And if you reject the 37 or however many genders there are today, you're called a hater. My son told me the other day, he said, "Dad, if I had a nickel for every gender that's out there now, I'd have a dime." And that's biologically true, isn't it? Oh boy, we would make Sodom and Gomorrah blush in our insanity and our craziness. "Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats." He's saying that their worship was so hypocritical it became profane to him, even though they called it worship. "When you come and appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, your Sabbaths. and the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure the iniquity in the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul, what does he say? Hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my face from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear you. Your hands are full of blood. Darren, did you cue up that little clip I wanted you to show? Anybody ever get on YouTube and watch a wretched radio? No? What, Tom Freeze, he's very orthodox in his doctrine. Now, I want you to just see what they call worship here. It's only a two-minute clip. This is the listen, the first clip is the largest church in the state of Georgia. Some of you might know what that church is, right? Whose church that is? Largest church in the state of Georgia. This is what they call worship. This is precisely what God is describing here is profane to him. Take a look at this. So we're looking at these reasons for judgment against the nation of Judah and Jerusalem. From God's perspective, these indictments he's bringing about, the sin of rejecting him, the hypocrisy in their worship. And now we're going to look at the spiritual unfaithfulness, their child sacrifice, their oppression of the poor. Look at, again, chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. How the faithful city has become a harlot. It was full of justice, righteous lodged in it, but now murderers. What did we discover last year? The death of truth, the death of free speech, the death of justice, and we're experiencing the death of America as we knew her. Make no mistake about it. Your silver has become dross, your wine mixed with water. The princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. We got one of the largest thieves and extortioners in the White House, running the country. Isn't that amazing? And you wonder why so many in his administration have all strong ties financially to China, the sellout of the country. For a few dollars, for a few shekels, right? I will turn my hand against you and thoroughly purge away your dross. I will take away your alloy. I will restore your judges as at the first and your counselors as the beginning. Is that where I want to be? Let's see. No. Verse 23. Your princes are rebellious, the companions of thieves. Everyone loves... What's a bribe? You know what a bribe is. Just, you know. We can look the other way. And followers of rewards, they do not defend the fatherless. Not only have we legislated and legalized abortion here in our country, but now what are we doing? We're subsidizing abortions overseas. We're paying for abortions. So we export the murder of children. We export pornography. We export so many of our sins that are so vile to the Lord. They do not defend the fatherless, nor does the cause of the widow come before them. That's true religion, isn't it? Taking care of the widow and the fatherless. Turn to chapter 3. Let me know when you're ready, Darren. Chapter 3, we're going to see the loss of their prosperity and the fact that God takes away wise governance or leadership. If you go through this section, these first five chapters in Isaiah, you'll discover that God gives them ungodly leadership in business, in government, and in the church. Oh boy, could that not describe what we go through, or am I wrong? So look at chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Behold, the Lord of hosts, takes away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stock and the store, the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water. So their prosperity, they're going to lose. The mighty men, the men of war, the judge and the prophet, the diviner and an elder, the captain of 50, the honorable man, the counselor, the skillful artisan, the expert enchanter. So all of those who would offer the nation good guidance, good governance, as I said, in business, in the government itself, civilly, and in the church, or in this case, it was the spiritual or religious life of Israel, gone. Said that what'll happen now is because you're soft on sin, you're not going to govern your children the way you should either, and your children will become rebellious. Do we have rebellious children? Is that what we displayed was displayed for us all last summer in Portland, in the Northwest? Rebellious children. That's what that was. Now, look at the text, would you? In verses 4 and 5, I will give children to be their princes. These children are wise in their own eyes. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with these young people who you can't tell them anything. They know it all. Wise in their own eyes. Terrible way. It's called child-centered parenting, and it leads to what we're reading here. The people would be oppressed. Verse 4, I will give children to be their princes and babes to rule over them. Boy, oh boy. Is that not the truth? Look at the people we have ruling over us. They're idiots. The rest of the world laughs at us. Anybody ever listen to this conservative program coming out of India, the country of India, called TFI Global? No? Nobody's ever heard of it? Okay, when you get a chance, next time you're on YouTube, just search TFI Global. And they come out with some very insightful pieces, and they lately have been presenting the fact that Israel and the moderate states that surround Israel that have made peace with her, who are they? Saudi Arabia, the Emirates, Bahrain, Kuwait, okay? They are all standing against the new Biden doctrine in the Middle East and standing for the Abraham Accord. Abraham Accord. I wonder why he called it the Abraham Accord. What does it say in Genesis chapter 12? Abraham, I will bless you. Your descendants will be as numerous as the sand in the sea, the stars in the sky. And oh, by the way, I will bless those who, and I will. That must be why he called it the Abraham Accord. He wanted to bless Israel. Well, those nations have gathered together to stand against, and they are in opposition and rejection of everything that the Biden foreign policy is trying to do. Do you know who the Quad is? Who's the Quad? No. In foreign policy. Yeah, that's it. The Quad was the four nations in the Asia Pacific area that wanted to stand against the aggression of China. So who would you think that would be? No, in the Far East. Japan, Australia, the United States, and South Korea. Okay? That's the Quad. The Quad had developed a very strong stance against China and the China aggression in the China Sea, in the Asia-Pacific region. Trump had a very defined and specific doctrine for doing that. Well, you know how soft China Joe is on China, don't you? I mean, how can he go against? but interesting. And when you watch some of the reports that come out of TFI Global from India, and you'll see that the three remaining members of the Quad, not so much the United States anymore, but the other three are standing strong in maintaining those doctrinal positions of foreign policy with regard to China, fighting against. Biden has been humiliated both in what he's trying to attempt to do in the Middle East and what he's attempting to do in the Asia-Pacific region, because it undermines our allies. It strengthens our enemies. It's amazing what has happened today. Talk about profane worship, hypocrisy in the church. Look at this. It's amazing that anybody would call this worship. This is a worship service. This is Sunday morning worship.
Welcome to the round of which one is worstest. That's right. We're going to share three clips with this man, Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You. And he's going to determine which one's the worst. Are you ready for your earnest responsibility?
I am not only ready, I am excited.
We're only going to show you
three clips, 30 seconds. We wanted to be fair. Which one is worstest? The first contestant is from an Andy Stanley church, a North Point in Woodstock, Georgia. A little football rap for the Sunday worship service?
UGA and Bama Part 2 in Atlanta.
Yeah, come on,
UGA
kid.
And Bama Part 2 in Atlanta.
This year it's really our time. We see the tide come and watch. Saturday night, Swift and Holyfield run. If we're about to shock the world, some think we don't have a chance. Some dogs about to be back-to-back SEC champs.
UGA and Bama Part 2 in Atlanta.
Okay.
UGA and Bama Part 2 in Atlanta.
Okay, UGA and Bama Round 2. Rama Jamma, okay. Watch the tide, drop the hammer like we do. We win natties and you almost had it. Oh my gosh, nothing cuter than UGA fans' faces after that touchdown from Tua. You remember that touchdown?
That was 30 seconds? That was that's contestant number one.
30 seconds of pain. That was awful.
That's Sunday morning worship.
Yeah, I got that. That's what makes it awful.
All right, that's contestant number one. Contestant number two, if you love the 80s, you're going to love this sermon on money.
We're going to talk today about money.
You said, I want money.
Some of this, obviously, it's a couple years old, but this just gives you an example. Listen, this is not uncommon in these mega churches today because it's all about entertainment. It's not about worship. In the first one, what is it? What was that all about, that rap? What was it about? Football. I mean, what place did that have in a worship service on a Sunday morning? And how about the money? Yeah, money man. Oh, boy, that's all they're concerned about, right? Now, that clip from North Point, they had to shut down. You know, they didn't reopen again, and I don't know if they're reopened yet. But he wanted to make sure everybody sent their tithe in, even though you can't come to church, and they weren't open. All about the money. Is that not profane? And there's so many other examples that I could show you that are much worse than that. It's just sad what has happened to the worship of the one true God. I don't know. You know, you do the best you can as a father, right? I mean, hey, Cain couldn't have had a better grandpa, could he? Who was his grandfather? God. God. He had a direct relationship with God. And, you know, he killed his brother Abel. You do the best you can. You're responsible as parents to make sure that you set the right example for your children. You teach them the right way. And you don't compromise. You don't give entitlements. You don't give appeasements. But you stay true to the word of God. There are fruitless, willful disobedience. Did we look at the oppression of the poor and the haughty? No. How about the devil getting their due? No. Let's see, where would I end off there? I ended off with their rebellious children? Three? Okay, now there's no shame in their embrace of sexual perversion, homosexuality. Look at chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Bless you. For Jerusalem is stumbled and Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory and look on their countenance, witnesses against them. They look on their countenance, witnesses against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They don't hide it. Woe to their soul, for they themselves brought evil upon themselves. Now, homosexuality and that sin, that perversion, has been around a long, long time, hasn't it? It's nothing like Sodom and Gomorrah, right? But never has it been so widely accepted and widely forced upon the rest of the... You have to know that there's only a small percentage of the nation that really believes that this is acceptable. You understand? The overwhelming majority of people don't believe that. They just won't say so, and they won't speak out against it. Me speaking out against it tonight, very shortly, is going to be a hate crime. You understand that, don't you? These are God's indictments just prior to his judgment upon the nation who he loved, the apple of his eye. Look at the how they're going to get their due eventually. The oppressors. Look at chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. Woe to the wicked. It shall be ill with him eventually, right? Every devil gets their due and every saint. Yeah. For the reward is of his hands shall be given him. They're going to get what they do, what they're due. But look at verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. We're going to have the first female president very soon. You know that, right? I mean, this man blundered the other day where in his dementia was on full display for all the world to see. He's not going to make it. I don't think he'll make it to mid-year. And who's going to take over? The first woman president of the United States who is you could not find a more extreme left ideology in anyone else in the Senate other than this woman. All right, the first it. But children are their oppressors, women shall rule over them. And as, you know, I love women. My mother was one. My sister's one. My two wives are women. Unfortunately, I've never had a daughter. I wish I had, you know. But I got many spiritual daughters, you know. But we see what's happened in our society. The radical feminism that has taken place started in the 60s, and how many men are rendered impotent? How many men are no longer leading the home? And that's part of the destruction of our society, you see. Yes.
They hate everything about it.
Mm-hmm. They hate God and everything he stands for. Right. Look at the oppression of the poor and the haughtiness of the women of that culture. Chapter 3, verses 14 through 23. For the Lord will enter into judgment with the elders of his people and his princes. For you have eaten up the vineyard. The vineyard is Israel, the nation. They've destroyed the nation. They've eaten it up, which is precisely what this administration is doing to our nation, where it's a wholesale sellout of our nation. When we were energy independent. And that energy independence and the sanctions we were placing on our enemies were bringing them to submission. Now, with the change in administration, our enemies are so emboldened. And I'll share more on that in a minute. For you have eaten up the vineyard, plundered the poor, was in your houses. You do mean by crushing my people, the grinding of the faces of the poor, says the Lord of hosts. Moreover, the Lord says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, acting in their harlotry, not being pretty and beautiful, but just the opposite, and walking with outstretched necks, wanton eyes, walking, mincing as they go, making jingling with their feet. Therefore, the Lord will strike them with a scab of the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion. And the Lord will cover their secret parts. In that day, the Lord will take away the finery, the jingling anklets, the scarves, the crescents, the pendants, the bracelets, the veils. What's that family? Those women that people go nuts following? Yeah, that's the one. I mean, as I'm reading that, that's what I can think of. I mean, how profane, how, oh. And unfortunately today, you know, our society, the ungodly, I mean, look at the way they dress their little girls. Look at the big uproar over that series that Netflix wanted to show. What did they call it? Cutie Pies? Cutie? Is that what it was? And, I mean, what happened? What happened to little girls looking pretty? What happened to being beautiful? The pendants, the bracelets, the veils, the headdresses, the leg ornaments, the headbands, the perfume boxes, the charms, the rings, the nose jewels, the festival apparel and the mantles, the outer garments, the purses, the mirrors, the fine linen, the turbans, the robes. And so it shall be, instead of a sweet smell, there shall be a stench. Instead of a sash, a rope. Instead of well-set hair, baldness. Instead of a rich robe, a grinding of sackcloth. And brandishing instead of beauty. Branding instead of beauty. Now, you know what happened when they came in and took the city. They took these women and they shaved their heads and they threw a sack on them and they dragged them to Babylon. Those who could make it, the 600 miles, many died. They weren't so pretty then, were they? No. They weren't so voluptuous looking, or how, I'm trying to be careful of my adjectives here. You get the point. Does that not describe our society? I mean, the soft is everywhere, isn't it? Everywhere. I mean, you can't look at a news site. You know, populist, you know, the new one that's replaced Drudge, populist. I was scrolling through there the other day, and then all these things that pop up on the side, they're just, what is this? We're so perverse. So perverse. Speaking of the vineyard, go to chapter 5. The fruitlessness and the willful disobedience of the nation, verses 1 through 6. God says, let me sing to my well-beloved the song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. Now, God chose to plant Israel among the nation of the nations to be a shining light, to be the beauty of the Lord, the righteousness, the holiness of God displayed. My well-beloved has a vineyard and on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up, cleared out the stones. He planted it with the choicest vines. He built a tower in its midst. He also made a wine press in it. And so he expected it to bring forth good. But it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. For what more could I have done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now, please, let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take it away, its hedge, and it shall be burned. And break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor dug. But there shall come up briars and thorns. I also command the clouds that they rain no more on it. God's talking about how he established the nation. He wanted to establish the nation in holiness and righteousness, justice and truth. Isn't that how we were established, right? What did the past, the present, the previous administration... What were they implementing to try to bring our children's education to understand the foundations that we were established on? The 1776 Project. Because our children in our schools today are not taught the beginning of America, not taught American history correctly. And the 1776 Declaration was meant to do that. Well, Biden overturned that with an executive order. What are they doing now? No. What is it now? 1619. What did that represent? Right. What they're teaching our children is that we are a slave nation, an oppressive people from the very beginning. In verse 7, you see the death of truth and justice. Chapter 5, verse 7, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plants. For he, God, looked for justice, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, weeping. The way the, listen, we're not weeping yet, but we're going to be. If they have their way and they're able to do everything they want to do, who's going to pay for all of these programs that they're giving this mass migration of people? This, what's happening on our southern border is an invasion. It's a mass migration of people to the United States, to North America, and the present administration wants to support them in every way possible. Who's going to pay for that? You are. How? Taxes, your 401k, your Social Security. Believe me, all of those things are at risk now. Now, we don't put our trust there. Our trust is in the Lord, right? I do believe the Lord's coming soon, beloved. So don't misunderstand me. This is not meant to be doom, a message of doom and gloom for you. I think there's every reason, every indication to believe we may not be here tomorrow. Do you understand how close it is? In verse 8 through 10, it talks about the greed of the nation. Woe to those who join house to house, who add field to field. There's no place where they may dwell alone in the midst of the land. In my hearing, the Lord of hosts said, truly, many houses shall be desolate, great and beautiful ones without inhabitant. For 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and a homer of seed shall yield one ephah. He's not allowing them to even be able to support themselves, to feed themselves. He's not going to allow their crops to produce. And he's upset because it's their greed that's getting the best of them. When does the fire say enough wood? No. Never. Greed is any like any other desire of the flesh. It's never enough. There's never enough. More, more, more. The substance abuse that was taking place, chemical addictions. Look at chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. Woe to those who rise early in the morning, that they may follow intoxicating drink, who continue until night, till wine inflames them. Oh, the harp, the strings, the tambourine, the flute, and the wine are in their feasts. But they do not regard the work of the Lord, nor consider the operation of his hands. Hey, the only thing they're concerned about is their entertainment and getting high. Wow, so many of the younger generation, I mean, that describes a lot of them, doesn't it? You know, we raise them up in the church, and 85% of them abandon the faith. They get into college, and most of them don't even finish. It's amazing today, far, far more young ladies finish college and establish good careers than do men anymore. And get all strung out on drugs and entertainment and their pleasures, and they make nothing of themselves but ruin, and they end up living in their parents' basement playing video games. Is that not true? That's the truth. That's what's happened to us. Is this anything new? No. Drug abuse, intoxication, and then they are willfully ignorant of the things of God. Verse 13, therefore my people have gone into captivity, captivity by the enemy, captivity by their own pleasures and desires, captivity by wrong thinking, because they have no knowledge. Their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore Sheol has enlarged itself and opened its mouth beyond measure, their glory and their multitude and their pomp. And he who is jubilant shall descend into it. The people shall be brought down, each man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled, but the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment. Look at their pride and their injustice and their mockers of God, verses 18 through 20 of chapter 5. Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity, their sin and their vanity and their pride and their arrogance and haughtiness, they're audacious, and sin as if with a cart rope. So what God is describing here is that his people are so loaded down with sin and the pleasures of sin. It's like they have a cart that they're pulling behind them, loaded with all of their sins and their desires, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it. And now they're mocking God and mocking his name. Where's the promise of his coming, right? That sort of thing. I'm sorry, I'm a little broken up here. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come, that we may know it. So they're mocking God. They're defying him, you know. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Is that described today? More than ever before. Who put darkness for light, light for darkness. Bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. Amazing what is happening in our day. Then their pride of their corruption and their bribery and their injustice. Look at verses 21 through 23 in chapter 5. Their leaders. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to men mighty in drinking wine. Woe to men violent for mixing intoxicating drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe. Take away the justice from the righteous men. They'd make fun of Trump because he's never drank a glass of wine in his life. You know that? Neither has his children. Children don't drink, smoke, anything like that. But look at how they're still attacking him. Now listen, you know why they're attacking him? They want to go after you. How many times did he say it when he was our president? The reason why they're after me, they want to get to you. And he's exactly right. Make no mistake about that. And if you don't think the shoe fits, then I'm not reading it right and I'm out of my mind. But if I look at this, I see nothing but the United States of America. They despise the word of God. Verses 24 through 26. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root will be as rottenness and their blossom will ascend like dust. Because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, the anger of the Lord is aroused against his people. He has stretched out his hand against them, stricken them, and hills trembled. Their carcasses were as refuse in the midst of the streets. And for all this, his anger was not turned away, but his hand was stretched out still. He will lift up a banner to the nations afar and will whistle to them from the ends of the earth. Surely they shall come with speed swiftly. He's talking about the fact that he's going to bring the Babylonians in to rush in swiftly and with tremendous force to destroy the nation. Who knows what God is going to allow? Who knows what he might bring about? Do we not have a despising of the word of God in our nation? Listen, they're going to outlaw the Bible. Make no mistake about that as well. These crazy Marxists, these leftists, they have their way. They're going to outlaw the word of God. So we need to have it in our heart and in our head. I said Jesus is coming in the clouds, right? What kind of clouds? What kind of clouds? Storm clouds. Dark clouds of judgment. Now, it'll be judgment for the Christ-rejecting world. It'll be the deliverance and the salvation for the church. But he's coming in the clouds. And they're not pretty beautiful clouds like we saw today. This is a storm is brewing. It's getting darker and darker. But please, please, take heart. As those storm clouds begin to gather more and more and it gets darker and darker out there, he's coming. He's behind those clouds for you and for me. Look at verse 30. In that day they will roar against them as the roaring of the sea. The enemy is coming against Judah and Jerusalem. And if one looks to the land, behold, darkness and sorrow. And the light is darkened by the clouds. They want to live in darkness? God is going to give them darkness. Now, I wanted to present this to you tonight because as I'm just thinking and pondering on the promise that God gives in Genesis, and, you know, many of us laid claim to that promise for President Trump. Juan, I know you did. Oh, Lord, you say in your word that you will bless those who bless Israel. And, Lord, Donald J. Trump has blessed. He's been the most pro-Israel president in the history of the United States of America. He's been the most pro-life president in the history of the United States of America. He's been the most pro-religious freedom in the history. Then why, Lord? Why? How do we make sense of then what has happened? What did I tell you before about wickedness, darkness, evil, the devil, demons? What did I tell you about them? Why do they exist? What?
God's devil.
Yeah, but why do they exist? Why does it still go on? He will be glorified in judgment for his glory. When he finally judges what is taking place. Now, make no mistake about it. God is in control, isn't he? Is your God sovereign?
Yes.
My God is sovereign. And God has allowed everything to take place the way it has. Now, we as his people need to ask ourselves the question, what are you doing, Lord? Why did you allow that to take place? And I believed with all my heart as soon as I knew he was not going to win the battle to prove that this was a fraudulent election, then I knew that all of this was going to expedite, hasten the day of the Lord. There are so many things that have been happening as of late that make that so wonderfully clear, right? Now, we know that the next prophetic event, major prophetic event to occur is what? Or the rapture of the church. Now, we don't know which one comes first. Did you put those screenshots up yet? How many of you watch TV7 Israel News? If you don't, you should. It's only a 12-minute clip every day. They're Messianic Jews. They're Jews who love Jesus. It's amazing that there would be a news station centered in Jerusalem that would be declaring Jesus is Yeshua, the Messiah, the Mashiach Nagi. Amazing. But anyway, the last two days, there's the headlines, okay? Go back, please. Oh, that's it, yeah. That's today's. The IAEA, the Atomic Energy Agency International that controls what's going on, it's supposed to be the watchdog organization over what Iran is doing. Well, they've discovered that Iran has had a secret nuclear project going on, and they have found nuclear material processed already, enriched, that was not previously disclosed. That was today. What was yesterday's? Iran threatens to up their uranium enrichment to 60%. IDF bolsters military aptitude, right? So what I want you to understand is that we're this far away from a war in the Middle East. This far. It's going to happen. Now, the Netanyahu administration, the Saudis, the Kuwaitis, the Arab Emirates, the Bahrain, all declared that they will support Israel in whatever they do. It's a confederation now of these nations. Israel has declared they don't care what deal you make or what deal you don't make, we are not going to allow Iran to have a bomb. What you need to understand is from what's been reported most recently, they are days, weeks at worst, probably days at best, from having a bomb. Do you understand that? Now, what do they want to do with that bomb? Have a fireworks display? They made it very clear. They've told the whole world repeatedly, over and over and over, since the revolution against the Shah back in 1980 when Reagan was president. Well, Jimmy Carter allowed that to happen in 1979, if you know the history. When the Shah of Iran, who was very pro-West, very strong ally of the United States, was in a coup, he had been deposed, taken over by these radical Islamists, right? And they have declared ever since then, 1979, their goal is to destroy the state of Israel, to wipe out the Jewish people, that there would be no Jewish state that ever existed on the face of the earth. Their position hasn't changed for 41 years. And they're more committed to it now. Do you understand the crazy people that run Iran? Now, there's a lot of Iranian people, these Persian people, that they're held hostage by a government that's in power that they can't take out of power. When they tried to cause a populist uprising during the Obama administration, what happened? We didn't support them. And the Iranian regime killed so many of their own people. So the people are held hostage by a government that they really didn't elect and they don't agree with. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Wow. So we are very, very, very close. God has allowed all of this to take place because he's bringing about his will as he has foretold in Scripture. The church age is just about over. Apostasy reigns, doesn't it? And look at the hypocrisy in the church. The latest scandals that have come out recently about these men who have not just national, international platforms. You know some of them. Name some. Ravi Zacharias. People idolized him. Problem with Ravi, he was a compromiser. He was a compromiser when he went and spoke at Brigham Young, Mormon University. Compromised and never presented the gospel. He would write his own reviews. And there's so many people like that. The scandalous behavior that takes place in the church. Because the church is not the church. Now, therefore, all this be true, it's exciting, isn't it? I mean, come on, listen, from my perspective, what I see, this is the most exciting time I've ever been in my entire life. I've been waiting for this for 40 years. 41 years. And we're here. But what type of person ought you to be now? What should be your focus and your attention now? What should be the prioritizing of your life right now? Sharing the gospel. Listen, everything else evaporates into meaninglessness. The most important thing we can do right now is be faithful to what Jesus had commissioned us to do. Go ye therefore. And make sure that you're fighting the right battles. And there's a lot of people going crazy about the Second Amendment. So what are you going to do? Are you going to shoot somebody to keep your gun? I mean, if you do, you're an idiot. That's not the fight Jesus told you to get into. If they knock on my door and they have the right legally to take my gun, they can have my gun. You can't have my Bible. That you'll have to kill me for. Right? And you're not going to shut me up. You're not going to tell me I can't preach the word of God, can't preach the truth any longer. You'll have to put me in prison. Every one of us, listen to me. You need to reevaluate your priorities. What do you spend the majority of your thinking on? What do you exhaust your life on? And right now it needs to be increasing the kingdom of God and sharing the gospel at all costs. Living for Jesus, no matter what the cost. American dream is dead. It's dead. It wasn't a dream anyway. It was a nightmare. It was a nightmare. The more you have, the more it owns you, right? But beloved, better days are coming. They are. Oh, that storm cloud has a silver lining, and his face is smiling behind it all. But what we need to do is take as many people with us as we can. You can't take your money, can you? No. You can't take your home. You can't take your dog. Can't take your dog, okay? I don't want to disappoint you. No doggy heaven. But you can take your children, you can take your spouse, you can take as many people as we can share the gospel with and get them to open up their heart to the true Jesus. We can take them with us. Amen? Because we're going. He's coming. Ready or not, he's coming. Amen. Questions, comments? Listen, this is to be an open conversation. We're family. You think I'm out of my mind? Tell me. I'm sorry? Yes. The Apostle Paul wrote, don't you know division must come? And we are the house divided. There's no doubt about that now. Division must come. Why? Because then God will show those who are approved, just as John is saying.
Well, it fell on his birthday that year. And he wasn't very old. He was maybe 12 or 13, but in his mind, he was still pretty young. And we raised rabbits for show. And we had several rabbits in a hutch in behind the house. And I woke up one morning very early, probably 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I heard crying. And it was Bradley upstairs, very distraught. And he hadn't woke his brother up, but he was crying about his rabbits because he felt like the Lord came back as rabbits were and you have to understand from his perspective, he wasn't sad that he was going home, but he was sad that his buddy could start with him. And I said, do you not think the God who could lift you off this earth and save you wouldn't open those cages to let them run free? I mean, I had to console him, but, you know, we have to understand that, that all of this, you know, we don't realize how attached we really are to it. But I
feel bad about my unsaved neighbors, you know. But in one way, I'm... Yeah.
What's here
oh, yeah.
to see the glory
yeah,
coming.
Yeah. One second. He had his hand up. Hang on. One second, Ed. Go ahead.
No. What I was going to say, and I don't know the answer or the perspective, but we tend to focus very much on what's happening in this country instead of the world. Mm-hmm. Now, God looks at the world, in my opinion.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
And so, if you stand back and look at this, some of all, most of all what we said here tonight, couldn't have applied to Europe 20 years ago.
Yeah, but Europe wasn't ready, was not representing Jesus throughout the globe. We were.
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah. And yet there are places in this world today where, in other places where God is really making a big difference.
That's true. But if you step back and you look at the globe, not just this country, everything is lined up geopolitically for the end time scenario to take place. Yeah. When you look at Europe, but you look at Europe and you see the rise of globalism in Europe and the demand for globalism and the atheist, godless government that they want to be, you look at the rise of China. Who would have ever imagined since Nixon opened up trade with China, who would have ever imagined that they would be the powerhouse that they are today? They have a global agenda. We see those two forces that are going to end up coming into Israel in the end of days, fighting against one another, but then turning all of their weaponry upon God. Precisely as the Bible says. So I think there's enough evidence, geopolitically, evidence with regard to the rebirth of the nation of Israel, evidence with regard to the technological advances that have been made in our world. I mean, we have just skyrocketed in the technological achievements and advances that have been made where we now have the capability. Never before has the world had the capability to do the things the Bible predicts will be done at that time. The weapons of mass destruction, instant communication throughout the entire globe, where everyone in the world would know what is happening in real time and at the same time. That's never happened before. And we have that ability today. So we see an awful lot of things just lining up. Now, America was discovered by who? Christopher Columbus. For what purpose? Safe place for the Jews. And God has used America. You got to look at all of world history in light of the way God is dealing with the nation of Israel. Not China, not Russia, not America. And when you step back and you look at what God's word has said with regard to the nation of Israel, We're there. If you want some more insight in that, listen to some of the Messianic Jews and what they're saying now. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches and to spiritual Israel, the spiritual Israel today. It's fascinating. Ed, you want to say something?
Yeah, I was just thinking about Jeremiah predicted the coming Babylonian invasion, and yet he gave them Hezekiah and he gave them Josiah that that gave him a brief...
brief reprieve.
And I think that's what Trump
was. Yes, he was. I believe that too. And now we have Manasseh. Yeah. And Jezebel. Anybody else have any comment, question? Who would like to close us in prayer?